VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been said that one of the things we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. As we gaze through the lens of history, we have seen socialism fall time after time and bring down society after society. Yet here in the United States, there's a growing infatuation with socialism. There are those who are falling for the empty promises of free health care, you know, Medicare for all, free child care, free college, free food, job for all, with the desire to make those who are wealthier foot the bill, make them pay their fair share. Well, the cry goes out, government, take care of my every need. But did you know that socialism is anti-God? Did you know that socialism violates both biblical truth as well as constitutional truth? Joining us today, we welcome back Sam Rohr. Sam is president of American Pastors Network and the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. He's a speaker on the Stand in the Gap Minute and also a co-host of Stand in the Gap, both radio and television. He's a former representative serving in the Pennsylvania legislature for some 18 years. Sam, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Jim, it's great to be back with you and all of the listeners of VCY America.
I'd like to begin with a definition, because when you refer to socialism, I'd like to know what you mean, Sam. It's important we define this, because the Free Beacon reported they had a Gallup poll. More people today believe that socialism meant equality than it did government control. 6% said that Gallup told Gallup that socialism is talking to people or being social. So let's define the term. When you refer to socialism, what do you mean?
Well, from a economic perspective, socialism is a way of governing where government owns the means of production. So there are different variations of it, but socialism really says government is the rightful owner. They know best what to do with private property, with companies that may make whatever. The means and the distribution, it's government controlled. And I would say that when I tell people, when you think of socialism as a transition to communism. Hmm. Ultimately, communism is the ultimate goal. It's an both are atheistic. There's no God in the picture for anything socialism, because it is based on everything other than God as creator, God as the designer of all that we are and who we are, God as the person who gives purpose to all of life. All of that is thrown out under the concept of socialism. Government replaces God. Ultimately, though, communism becomes the most militant form of socialism, but socialism is always on the move to that ultimate goal, which is communism.
Wow, and so contrast that with capitalism?
Well, capitalism would be really a Judeo-Christian approach that says that that the individual, as created in God's image, and again, that takes us back to worldview, the individual is where it begins. The concept of private property, which is established in the Old Testament, is a very critical component of freedom and understanding, and that government, as we would know in Romans 13, is really there to, first of all, serve God vertically, serve the people horizontally, and Romans 13:6 says that those in government are to lead in worship, meaning in their capacities, they are to call the attention of the people to the God of heaven, which is exactly what Nebuchadnezzar did, and we know from the Old Testament passage when he lost his mind and he came back to it, the first thing he did when his senses came back to him, he stood and he gave obeisance to the God of heaven, and he said, there is a God above. That is ultimately what every person in a position of civil authority ought to do. That's what God says. That's on the counter side. So capitalism is a form. It talks about economics, certainly, but the means of production, the ability to have risk, the ability to have reward, the ability to have profit, and for a person to be able to go beyond and reap those rewards, that is what we would call capitalism. It resides with the individual. It resides on the local level. And government at that point just helps to make sure that people can do what God has designed for them to do, the complete opposite of socialism and certainly communism.
Sam, who are some of the founders of socialism? What can you tell us about them?
Well, there really were four. Probably, if you talk about going all the way back, Karl Marx was one of the major one because he, well, that's where you get Marxism from. Let's put it there. Where mm-hmm. Friedrich Nietzsche was another one. He's the one who came along. Again, you're going back some years, but these mentalities tie together. Nietzsche said ultimately that God was dead from this perspective of saying that he believed that at that point when he lived back in 1800s, that they were able to bring the culture to the point where effectively God was killed in the idea of the culture, that people didn't need God anymore. Freud came along. Freud was the guy who ultimately said that he believed again that God was dead. He believed in the idea of Marx, that again there was no God. And that's the commonality with all of these: Marx, Nietzsche, Freud. They all believed that God was dead. Had nothing to do with who and what we are. Freud was said basically you're an animal, you do what animals say, and where hits went. And then Hegel, George Hegel came along, and Hegel actually laid out the process by which then this entire philosophy was ultimately put together. These four combined together were their ideas, their philosophies were interworked into efforts to come here, frankly, in America, target education, target government, and undermine it by replacing the Judeo-Christian thought, which an atheistic thought. So all of these together have been built one upon the other, and this is really what's behind the mentality today that says, God? God who? Yeah. Why do you need God?
Well, Sam, I could say with absolute certainty that if these men could speak today, Marx, Nietzsche, Freud, and Hegel, they would have a different viewpoint. They know that God is not dead.
That's correct. They do know that God is not dead, but I also believe that at the point that they lived, they also knew that God was not dead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sam, you've indicated that socialism is on the rise here in America. I mean, when we look and you defined and what it means is, you know, government is God in all of this. Tell us about this rise of opinion and the rise of those who are susceptible, those who find acceptability in socialism. What about this rise?
Well, the rise has come, and I think we find it in the surveys, and there are many of them. You know, when I say a majority of millennials, a majority of the Generation Z think or say that they think that their idea of socialism is actually perhaps superior to capitalism. To me, you look at those numbers, and most of us say, are you kidding me? Really, in this country? But if you connect together with the fact that less than 2 or 2 to 3% of Generation Z and millennials together, and it's even less as you go down lower to Generation Z, don't have a biblical worldview, then it makes sense that there is the ability to believe a lie. If we don't believe, and this is how I define a biblical worldview, there is God, there was a creation, an act of God, there was a fall where sin entered the world precipitated by a real live devil, but there is redemption secured by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are the pillars of what really is a biblical worldview. But you take out God, God as creator, and embrace evolution. If you say there was no fall, and if there is no God, there is no fall, therefore there is no sin, which means there is no accountability, do what you want, then if that's the case, then you have no need for redemption or Jesus Christ because we're all fine. That's effectively the lie of the devil that he said at the beginning. And that's what the philosophy of socialism going into communism says. We don't need God. We didn't come from God. There's nothing sacred about life. Private property, where'd that come from? Government knows best. And down the road you go, and government will be the great equalizer of all things and take from the rich and give to the poor, all of these kinds of mentality. And to a person who has no understanding about God or biblical principles, you can actually say, well, yeah, that would really sound like a good thing. Only problem is, it never happens, and it's never good.
Sam Rohr is our guest today, president of American Pastors Network. Sam, how did we get to this point? I mean, is capitalism failing us? Has it failed us that we've got to this brink of socialism?
Capitalism has not failed us. I mean, capitalism is an approach to living. It's a view of economics. It is a view that's built on Old Testament principles that, again, there's God creator, and God gave a role for the individual, for the family, for the church and civil government to function. And when they know those roles and they function within them, God says, Deuteronomy 30, you follow my precepts, which lays that out, you follow my rules, my Ten Commandments of how you conduct yourself in society. If you do those things, God says, I will give you life. It's the same as choosing life. But if you deny those things, you deny me, you deny that blessings come from God, that prosperity is a blessing of God, that life itself is a blessing of God, if you deny those things, then God says, then you will choose death. So God says, please, choose life, don't choose death. It's not complicated, but it starts with, is God there? I say, yes, God is there, and the evidence proves it, and I know him personally because I have trusted in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And for those who do and have, we know that to be true. Well, that is a biblical worldview. That's what the Bible says. And at the end of the day, Jim, it really comes down to competing worldviews. It's that simple. Socialism says there is no God, there is no creator, there is no sin, therefore no need for redemption. Judeo-Christian biblical worldview says there is God. He did create. He made life sacred, but there was a sin. But thank God he loves us, sent Jesus Christ, and we can be redeemed and made whole. They couldn't be any further apart than each other. And that's really what we're talking about, which is hard to believe that anybody in America would say, you know what? I really think that atheistic approach to life makes more sense than what God says in the Bible and what we find from experience here in our own nation or any other nation around the world. It's an amazing day.
And I'd like to take this a step further because you've indicated that this acceptance of socialism is not, it's not just solely coming from those who identify as the left, but this is also coming from within the professing church. Elaborate on that for us.
Well, it does, Jim, and the reason it is, and the reason that it is being put out there is because when the pulpits of America, I think the 30%, I think the numbers I've seen most recently, George Barnes did them, less than 30% of the pulpits in America actually believe in the authority of Scripture. Now, what's that mean? It doesn't mean that that pastor doesn't stand up and have a Bible in his hand once in a while, but what it means is he does not believe that it is all God's Word, which means some of it's not. And who decides? Well, it must be the guy, must be the man in the pulpit. If that hireling in the pulpit believes that he can pick and choose what he preaches on and what's true or not true, then you interject the cultivated ground in America within that congregation itself, perhaps, who would consider for a moment that, well, maybe God doesn't have all the answers. Maybe the Bible isn't all right. Maybe there is a better way, and it makes me think exactly what the serpent said to Eve when there in that garden when she said, Eve, did God really say? Yeah. He questioned the authority of Scripture then. It's being questioned now.
Sam Rohr, our guest, we're going to pick up with this after the break. But yes, folks, it's going well beyond those who consider themselves the left, but it has encroached upon the professing church today. We're talking about socialism on the rise in America. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, creation author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was Genesis written as poetry?
No, it wasn't, Chris, but this has been a favorite claim of liberals, subtly indicating that Genesis was a work of art and not meant to be taken as literal history. But this has been shown to be false. At the Institute for Creation Research, we've investigated this claim. It was found by statistical analysis of the verb tenses used in the Genesis account of creation that it's about the least poetic passage in all the Old Testament. It was written as sober narrative history and was meant to be understood by its readers as history. Of course, even if it were poetry, it doesn't mean it's not to be believed. Who says God can't write with flair? But he wrote Genesis as a sober historical account, and we need to believe it as such. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Sam Rohr is with us today from American Pastors Network and talking about socialism. It's on the rise here in America, not just within the political left, so to speak, but also coming from within the professing church. Before we pick up on that issue of it within the church, Sam, give us a word about the American Pastors Network, if you would.
Yes, thank you, Jim. Yeah, the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net focused on the pulpit, but on the pews as well. We think that pastors need to lead. I think that's the biblical model. God says it's through the preaching of the word that lives are changed, that families are healed, that nations can be healed. So we say the pulpit has got to lead. God has given us a platform, Jim, as preachers to communicate. And we believe that God is allowing us to communicate truth into the pews of America because we know only 9% of the pulpits are actually doing that. But we believe that God's Word holds the answers for all issues, for all matters of life. If we just but do what I said in Deuteronomy 30 earlier, if we but choose to do what God says and choose life, God will bless this nation, will restore to us what the locusts have eaten. But if God's people don't turn in their hearts to repentance and lead the way back to repentance before God, we will see freedom in this nation, which we already see so challenged. We will see it disappear. If God removed freedom and blessing from his own people, Israel, when they walked away from him, why should we think for a moment that the United States of America is any different?
Folks, check out the website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. You'll find Sam and others writing on so many pertinent issues that are impacting the church today, and this is just one of them on socialism. Sam, before the break, we were talking about the professing church and all of this, and I'm curious as to how the church got to this point. I mean, we're seeing this transformation, and you've pointed out from in God we trust to in government we trust, and this is encroaching upon the territory of the church.
Well, it is indeed, but you know what? Those who are atheists believe that the church is a tool. Who was it that said religion is an opiate of the people? What nation is it? China today, probably an example of a leading nation implementing the most, let's put it this way, end times techniques and technologies for the control of people, from surveillance to all of that kind of thing. What are they also doing? We covered it on one of our programs the other day. They're actually rewriting the Bible in China. The Communist Party is actually rewriting the Bible so that God is replaced with references to the Communist Party. It literally is the epitome of what we've been talking about, government becoming God. They know that religion, to put it that way, we know that faith in Jesus Christ, but religion itself can lead you to hell. I'm telling you, you know, but Christ takes you to heaven. But religion itself, the spirituality part that God has built into every person, is powerful. They know that if you can't beat them, you have them join you. And that's what they're doing in China. They're trying to use those who would be Christian, who would use the Bible to use a new communist version of the Bible. Now, because of that, the devil has always targeted the church to try and take and do what God has created for the proclamation of the truth, to take and make it a proclamation of error from the pulpit. He did that with Eve in the garden. Hath God said? That was questioning God's word at that point. The Christ himself talks us about a time when the pulpits will be filled with hirelings, those who don't speak to the people about what God's word says needs to be communicated, but telling them what they want to hear. And as Christ says, when time comes, the flock is attacked, and we know the wolf, the devil, is out there trying to attack all of the true believers. When that happens, the hireling flees. He just takes off and leaves the word. That's an example of those who are within the setting of the church, not being there for the communication of the truth, for the warning of their sheep, for the preparing of them, for the discipling of them, but there to tickle their ears, make them feel good, and ultimately they will be led to hell. That's the whole problem. Jude talks about those who step up as false prophets, as false witnesses in the end, and we know and we see that happening, sadly, increasingly, in this country, where those in the pulpit are turning away and say, I'm no longer a Christian. As just happened just the other day with one leading individual.
Yes.
You know, these kinds of things are descriptive of where we are, but the devil knows that if you can take a position of authority that God created expressly to preach the word, the pulpit, and you can substitute that truth for lies, if you can put a person in that position, not called of God, but says he is called of God, he can communicate error. And, of course, what does that do? Well, that sends the sheep out there to be devoured. And that's what's been happening in this country. And it starts with walking away from God's word as being fully authoritative and saying, well, we can make up our mind what we want and preach what we want. When that happens, the track and the trend is to absolute error, which I believe then sets us up for the kind of day we have now, where many live together and say, why do we need to get married? Or homosexuality? That's not an issue anymore. Or economics, socialism, or God? Maybe government has a better way. That's all of these things are linked, Jim, and that's how it starts. Question of God's word, and then you have people who occupy the pulpits who are not really called of God, but as Jesus himself said, hirelings.
And sadly, folks, today we continue to ask that question. Yea, hath God said. Sam, should not Venezuela be serving as a modern-day object lesson to us here as to the impact of socialism? I mean, last week there was a column on townhall.com about the Venezuelan children fighting over bananas just to avoid starvation. This once thriving nation, should this not be an example?
Well, Jim, absolutely it is. And see, that's the amazing thing. And you started the program by saying one thing we haven't learned from history is that we don't learn from history.
Right.
That's exactly correct, because no matter how anyone evaluates civilizations of the past, of those that were raised up, of those that were of tyranny and decimated their people. You can't go to one socialist country. You can't go to one communist country. You can't go to any that says atheism is the way it is, that God does not exist, and find freedom. Now, our founders, that when they came here to this country, they said, if we want freedom, we want to be able to worship in freedom. We want to raise our family as we believe God would have. We want to be able to work and earn a profit and to have private property, all of which God's word says. And they said, we're going to have to embrace what the Bible says. And, of course, that's the biblical worldview that underpins our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. These things are able to be analyzed. They are able to be observed, I'm going to put it with this clarification, by anyone who is honest and wants to know the truth. If you don't want to know the truth, then I guess, you know, we can all look at history and fool ourselves, and I think that's what's happening. But Venezuela to the south, it's as clear as day.
Yeah.
It's as clear as day, and we say, why would anybody be any different than that, or China, or Stalinist Russia, or any of the other places, Hitler Germany? We have so many examples.
Do we somehow think that we can do this socialism thing better than what they have done or how they fared with it?
I think that's what sin always does, Jim. Sin always makes us believe that, well, they just didn't do it right. We can do it better. When God says, no, you do it my way, I will promise you success. I will promise you prosperity, freedom from your enemies. I'll give you security. Choose life. But if you don't do what I say, which is very clearly laid out in Scripture, then God says, then you will have judgment. You will lose your freedom. You will lose your security. You will lose your health. All of those things, and you would think, it's so clear. But I guess it's clear only if we really want to know the truth. And That's really what it comes down to. Do we want to know the truth, who is Jesus Christ, or do we reject Jesus Christ and believe a lie?
Okay, Sam Rohr with us today here on Crosstalk. Socialism violates biblical truth. It violates our own U.S. Constitution. You pointed that out. But, Sam, as I look at elections past, recent elections past, and I look at the elections that are before us here at this time, we have those that are actually espousing socialism. They've got great followings. But if indeed socialism violates our own Constitution, then are not those candidates who are running, rerunning for office or running for another office, aren't they violating the very oath that they took to uphold the Constitution of the United States?
Well, absolutely, they are. And it's not possible for, in my opinion, I don't think it's just my opinion, but when our oath, a congressional oath, which has in it, so help me God, and when we take an oath by its very nature is before a covenant before God, it's the strongest, an oath is the strongest of promises. The very concept is that you really can't take an oath. You really can't promise nor hold to it if you do not believe that there is an accountability to God. So when we have these candidates are out there that are promoting things, oh, absolutely. They cannot talk about socialism. They cannot talk about government ownership of health care. They cannot talk about open borders or anything that God's Word is clear about or that our Constitution is clear about. They cannot do those things and be consistent with their oath. They are, in fact, those who trumpet and promote those things, Jim. They are absolutely promoting Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
They are promoting communism. They are promoting the antithesis of freedom in America, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, and that basically are the underpinnings of our nation. They're complete contrary, and that's why I think every person in every position of authority, the pulpits included, leading the way, standing up and saying, this is how God defines freedom. This is how God designs the role of government. This is what our Constitution says and where the biblical principles tie in. This is what our Declaration of Independence means when it says we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen by accident. It's perfect opportunities to lead people back to the Word of God. That's what we're trying to do. I know that's what you're trying to do.
If we as a nation go down this pathway called socialism, what lies ahead for us?
Absolute tyranny, a loss of freedom, a loss of private property rights, and absolutely a loss of the freedom of religion to be able to worship God as we want. All of those things will disappear. Why do I know that? Because they're the opposite of freedom. And it is exactly what comes when we put anything before God, socialism, communism, Marxism, Islam, all of them, makes no difference. They are all the antithesis to a biblical worldview and what God says. And it's amazing that all of them are players on this stage now in America. American people have a choice. They better wake up really soon because we may just soon lose our freedom altogether.
And friends, as has been reported, studies have shown and polls have shown that nearly half of Americans would vote for a socialistic president. Should be alarming to us. We're going to take a quick break. I've got just a question or two more for Sam, and then we'll give you opportunity as well to call in on the broadcast. Sam Rohr with American Pastors Network, their website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Relationships have been shattered due to lack of forgiveness. It's impacted marriages, parents and children, siblings, and even church families as a whole. Some have said that forgiveness is the most difficult commandment we are given as Christians. Why is that? Perhaps it is because it strikes at the core of our pride that says we deserve better than we are getting. Perhaps it seems if we forgive, we are letting that person win in a situation that hurts us in some way. In the book, Forgiven People Forgive, Pastor Jeff Miller shows us where the rubber meets the road At the heart of why we should forgive is the fact that God has forgiven us and we are commanded to forgive. It's easy for bitterness to take root in a heart that is unforgiving. Forgiven People Forgive is available for a donation of $6 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for Forgiven People Forgive. 1-800-729-9829.
Socialism on the rise in America, our topic today on Crosstalk. Sam Rohr is with us from American Pastors Network, his website AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Sam, we know so much of this is going on, the enablers of this in our educational institutions, and I saw just a recent article on this deception that's underway, and the College Fix ran a story last week asking this question: how does one convince a young person to become a socialist? And they said, for one, don't use the word socialism. And that was among the advice that was given out by the Young Democratic Socialist of America. They're having summer strategy sessions, training sessions, as they're gearing up for activism this fall. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this. If you've got a young person that is going off into our university system across this nation, they are in the crosshairs of those who are promoting this ideology. And Sam, they said, don't use the term socialism. Instead, you know, use for terms like shared struggles and shared interests, you know, to bring them in that regard. Quite troubling, but this is the mechanism, and it's to use deception to woo people in.
Jim, that is how it's coming in. I mean, when the Marxists, the Freud, the Marx, the Hegel, the Nietzsche, the Frankfurt School, ultimately in California, that really kind of embodied all of these and began to bring it forward. Had they come out earlier on at that point, this nation, that one time really when they looked at their coins and they saw In God We Trust, that really generally the culture did, there was a respect for God. You and I both remember when we had laws in place that the businesses were closed on Sunday.
Yes, yes.
And there was a respect for, I mean, it wasn't all that long ago. There was prayer in the school. I mean, we remember these things. Well, when these anti-God, anti-American, anti-constitutionalist ideologies came on the scenes, there would have been no way for them to have come out and said, we are a communist and we think that's a better way to go. Because just think about it. In God We Trust wasn't added to our coins until the 1960s, was it? And it was done to make a distinction between us and Communist Soviet Union. That wasn't all that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew that there was a difference. So they couldn't have come out and said, we are communist and we support Stalin, who's killing people by the millions, and therefore we want to tell you that there's a better way. Now, people would have run them out in a rail. So what do? Well, you come in and you quietly work to do those kinds of things that make people question God, and you seek a legislative court victory to take the Ten Commandments out of our public schools, to take prayer out of our schools. Then pretty soon, then you can redefine murder to say that killing our babies is fine, and then you can ultimately redefine marriage, which is the pinnacle of God's creation, the father, the mother, and the children, the marriage, to describe the relationship of Christ to the church. They went right to the heart and said, if we can do that, well, lo and behold, things begin to change, and you change history in our schools, and you take out any part that God played, and, well, lo and behold, now you've got a generation that comes along who says, God who?
Yeah, yeah.
Prayer? I don't remember prayer in the school. It's like the frog in the water, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
You don't come in directly line up. You come in, you question, you demoralize, you make people think that they are guilty if they hold to the fact that there is a God, and you work to destabilize the nation, and you create division like we're seeing now, and then ultimately an event comes up where there's chaos. That's exactly the mode that they are following even right now, and then out of that, then people get to the point where they say, I don't know what to do, we need help. And they look to government, and they say, oh, by the way, we step right in. That's been the model since the beginning. That's what's happening right now, Jim. It's just been slow. It's been insidious. But the only ones that can stand and oppose that are those who know the truth. And that, again, comes from God's word. We cannot sit to the side and allow deception to reign without those who know the truth from speaking up as grandparents, teaching it to the grandchildren, as mom and dad, teaching it to their children, as pastors, and those who know the truth in office to live it so that people can see it. There's no substitute for doing that.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. Taking your questions, if you have a comment on this issue. Sam, do you believe that we're at a point of no return, or can we get back to that, the principles of our founders on this very issue?
Jim, as long as we are able to question it as we are right now, I do not say that we are beyond no return. I will say this, though. When I look at the history of Israel, and I look at the United States, and I look at what Israel did that precipitated God's judgment against his own people, his own nation, they sacrificed their babies. There was murder that they were condoning. They were worshiping other gods. Idolatry reigned. They were not teaching truth to their children, but primarily murder of the unborn, blood shedding of blood, and idolatry, worshiping other gods. That was the primary sins of the nation. I look at our nation, and I'm saying, are we any different?
Yeah.
Really, are we any different? If God judged Israel, he's going to judge America. And I'm going to say it right now, I believe that what we're already witnessing, and we have been witnessing, is God's judgment on the land. The division that we see, the walking away, the embracing of error, the mere fact that we are talking like this now, that a majority of the young people would actually support socialism, atheism, I think all of those are signs of judgment. And there's no way around it, although God does give a way around it, if my people humble themselves, pray, and seek my face. There is no substitute. And right now, there's some evidence of life that is happening. The fight is going on, but it has to be broad-based, and I really believe we are at perilous days.
Yeah.
We can't continue on the track that we're on. That is for sure.
Folks, our phone line here is packed, 800-733-9829. Sam, we're our guest. Let's begin with John calling in. Hi, John, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I keep hearing about Black History Month, and I think to myself, boy, are you guys lucky. We got social studies. Oh, boy. And right now it reminds me of Jesus when he said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And when you bump into people that can't find their head with their hands, I think legally they're insane.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts, John. Terry in Duluth, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. We have so many examples in the Bible from turning away from God, and I think one of them is in 1 Samuel, when Israel came to the prophet Saul wanting a king. And it says in 1 Samuel 8:18, it says, "Then you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day."
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Terry. Sam, we're very much another parallel right there.
Well, it is. I mean, that's what the Scripture tells us. There is a point. This is the hard reality of judgment. There are times in a nation's history when they have, in fact, or can or do go too far. Now, the thing about it is, we don't know exactly where that is.
Right. Right.
And that is the part we need to maintain. And optimism in what? Well, optimism in that God is on the throne. Optimism that God's will is being done. Optimism that if we come to him in repentance, he will hear and he will answer. That's where the optimism is. But when we look around, if we look around and do not see a reason to be concerned about the evil of our nation, then we are also not doing what we need to do. But God is in control, and he will provide for his people the strength. He'll give them the words to say at the right moment, and we need to understand and believe that if we know Jesus Christ as Savior, we are here for such a time as this. Open our mouth, do what we can as salt and light, and then trust the Holy Spirit to take that truth and accomplish with it what he alone can accomplish.
Ed is calling from Spencer, Tennessee. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. My question is there a relationship between socialism and Agenda 21? If there is, what is the present status of that right now? Thank you.
Okay. Any connection between socialism and the principles of Agenda 21? Sam, indeed, Agenda 21 does away with private property rights.
So it does, indeed. And when I was in the Pennsylvania House, that was one issue that we spoke hard against that. I would make another connection with it. Agenda 21, it comes out of the United Nations. It comes out of a worldview mindset that, again, is contrary to a biblical worldview. It's a mindset that says that the property, that the ground, all that's there, the environment, all about it, is something that is to be limited. It takes a completely opposite view. It's a globalist view. Mm-hmm. And yes, as a result, yes, it is in that same category, absolutely, because it does not believe that God gave the environment to us to steward, to take dominion over, and it ultimately says that there is some governmental power that knows better what to do with the ground that God has given to us than the people who actually live on that
ground. Keep in mind, Ed, that the tentacles of this are engrossed in so many communities, from your city planning commissions to city halls and policies that are being implemented. As Tom DeWeese has shared with us from the American Policy Center, it's very much at work in communities all across this nation today. Mark is calling next, Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
My comment is this. I think Bernie Sanders unintentionally accomplished what I would call the comical side of politics when he failed to honor his socialist campaign agenda. And what I mean by that, by failing to pay his staff members $15 an hour.
He's running into some trouble here because all of a sudden, when he's espousing 15 and not paying his staff that, and then they rebel and form this union, and then, okay, we'll pay you 20, but now we have to cut your hours. I guess he's showing us capitalism, Sam.
What the listener just said, I think is so right. Socialism, as a means of, as a form of governance, one thing that it, communism, or anything else like it, does not have is the ability to boast consistency. They cannot be consistent because consistency is based on truth. That comes from God, who alone is consistent and trustworthy and true. And so you are right. If one really wants to look around, just look at what these people are saying, and you will find a load of inconsistencies.
Mark, did you have further comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing. If he can't make good on that, and again, I question who's going to listen to the rest of his blabber. I mean, that was his main selling point.
Yeah. Thank you for your call here today. Let's go to Brad, West Dallas, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Trouble today is that there's a lot of people, even those who say, oh, I believe in God, I believe in the Bible, and yet they don't know how to think straight. They're making the same mistake Eve did when Satan confronted her. She compared God's word with Satan's word to see if God was trustworthy, but God made her mind as well as her body, and she's using her God-created mind to see if God was trustworthy, where if he isn't trustworthy, she couldn't trust her mind in the first place.
Yeah.
So people need to take a clue from that and remember who made your mind and think accordingly.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more calls afterwards. Sam Rohr, our guest from AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Don't leave us. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Anti-Semitism is rising. That's provable. In fact, many secular websites and many secular news agencies are reporting on the incredible rise of anti-Semitism, not only in Europe, but also in America. In fact, now we have members of Congress, one of them, Omar, from Minnesota, from Somalia, who declares the most racist comments about the Jews one could ever read. And yet, has the unmitigated goal to turn around and declare that we, Americans, are the racist. Why? Because we believe in national sovereignty, borders, vetting people from known terrorist organizations and states and nations. And yet, this is exactly the playbook of the cultural Marxist that I've been warning about for years. More details can be found in 1 hour free docu-movie, SabotageTheMovie.com. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House.
Our topic today on Crosstalk, Socialism on the Rise in America. Sam Rohr is our guest from American Pastors Network. There is so much material he has available on so many different topics. Visit the site at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Back to the phone lines. Let's go to Hollywood, Maryland, and Laura is calling in. Hi, Laura. You're on the air.
Hello, Little Jim and Little Sam. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you guys doing this program, because we really do need programs like this to really wake up a lot of Christians that are not paying attention. I had a comment about saying, you know, I homeschool, so I'm really teaching my kids about up and coming what's going on in our society, about socialism and what it is, and it's not just getting together and hanging out with people.
Right.
and my question also was, you know, as Christians, what can we do to, you know, help fellow believers and other people, you know, to understand how dangerous this rising idea is in our society?
Thank you, Laura. Sam?
Well, Laura, one of the things you are already doing, any parent of children, you need to give them a Christian education. The curriculum needs to be an integrated biblical worldview into that text, into that curriculum, so that they see God in math. They see the God's design in history, in English, and all of that kind of thing. That's how we have to begin taking it back. Ultimately, parents, Christian parents, must raise up their children to understand. I'm going to put out there for grandparents as well. Grandparents, if you have grandchildren, you are sometimes the one that can have a greater impact on your grandkids than anyone. Be involved in their lives. Share with them God's Word. If you know who the Lord is, share them with them a biblical worldview. Tell them about history and what it used to be like. Have a tremendous impact. The point is, reach out to those with whom you have an ability to touch, and let them know what you think about God, what God's Word says, and that the answers are found there. Ultimately, the pastors in the pulpit is what we're trying to encourage to do. Many are. Most are not. So pick it up as you're listening to this program and this station. Pick it up and do what you can where God has placed you.
Thank you, Laura. Let's go to Gail from Gilbert, Minnesota. You're on the air, Gail.
Yes, I was just going to mention, I read this book called Radical Integrity, the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and, you know, I'm sure you've read that, and we were talking about Medicare for All, you know, Bernie Sanders, and that's part of the socialist communist movement, so they can control everybody. So what do you think about that? I mean, isn't that true?
Thank you. And Sam, you can respond to that. And keep in mind, it's not just Bernie giving up Medicare for All. That mantra is coming from many, many voices. Your thoughts, Sam?
Well, it is, in fact, you're right. And there's really, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. We're told that in Scripture. These ideas of socialism, they're not new. They're old. And again, just bring it back to this. Anything that is, take it to Scripture. What does the Word of God say? Look at what the Constitution says. Look what the Declaration of Independence says. These things are all consistent with a biblical worldview. That which violates any of those principles are over here either already embedded in or moving towards atheistic socialism and communism. They cannot coexist. And that's another lie that they put out there, that it's just another option. No, it's not another option.
Yeah.
Not another option.
Thank you, Gail. Let's go to Courtney in Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints. And I look at things from the Bible viewpoint of what's happening in the world and in America. And I'm saying this to your grandparents and parents whose kids are going off to college. Give them a King James Bible if they haven't already got one. talk to them once a week with the scripture. And, like, I'm going to say something here. Communism, atheism, socialism, Mormonism, Hinduism, notice something. All of them has the same thing in the end, ism. And Satan, there are many antichrists in the world, and that is the teaching of antichrist in each one of those. And the teachers in college are filled with Satan using them. Pray for your kids every night, every night. A grandmother, I'm going to say this right fast, a grandmother told me, I praise God for her. She said her little five-year-old granddaughter told her she always wanted to go to church with her. She said, Grandma, I want to be saved just like you. Your grandmother's got a big influence on your kids.
Amen.
And God bless you all, and we're praying for you all. God bless you.
Thank
now.
You. Thank you, Courtney. Sam, we certainly don't want to be that generation that knows not God, as we saw in the period of Judges, and certainly it behooves us. Well, we've got just a couple minutes left. I'm not going to take any more phone calls, but what I'd like you to give your charge to pastors who are listening in at this time.
My charge to pastors who are listening right now is, men, understand your calling. If you are called of God, I'm going to put that, if you are called of God in the pulpit, understand that your role is to relay the truth of God's word, all of it, not picking or choosing, relay it as God would relay it, understanding that you will give an account to God himself one day for how you treat the flock of God that he brings under your control. You are here for such a time as this. Preach the truth, all the truth. Let the Holy Spirit then bring that conviction to the hearts of people there. If we do not do, pastors, what God has put before us, it may well be our fault if we lose the freedom in this country. I don't want to be there, and neither do you.
We've got a responsibility as watchmen on the wall. Sam, for those who'd like more information on your organization, pastors that are tuning in right now and would like to get more information on American Pastors Network, tell us how.
Go to our website. It's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And that can be for those of you who are pastors, or those of you who know the truth and want to become a part and help us in our communication of truth broadly across America, and certainly emphasizing the role of the pulpit in America.
Amen.
All can come to that site, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Thank you, Jim.
Amen. Sam Rohr with us today from American Pastors Network. And Sam, as always, we appreciate you carving out the time to join us, to challenge us, to inform us on such critical issues for our time.
Good to be with you, Jim. Yeah. God bless you.
Sam Rohr with us. And again, folks, the website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Yes, indeed, socialism on the rise in America. But folks, let's do what Scripture says, to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.